cracking.
Hi, welcome to the Galvanize and Restore podcast. This is Jessica Concepcion, your host, and I'm really excited today to just introduce to you, if you haven't already heard, of the different types of trafficking that exist, not only here in America, but also abroad. So the issue of human trafficking is something that's just, it's not an issue in one particular country, right? So we know that, for example, let's take weather. Even in the United States, wherever you go, let's say if you live in Florida, you know for a fact you're going to be dealing with hurricanes, right? If you go to California, you might be dealing not with hurricanes, but you're going to be dealing with earthquakes. Just based off of where you're located in America or in another country, they have different environments, different weather, right, that affects that climate. And so I kind of see the same with human trafficking. If you think about the different countries in the world, each country is divided by first world, second world, third world country, right? So to identify a country as a third world country or first world, you know, you probably heard, like, if someone's like, oh my gosh, my heater's not working, it's like, oh, that's a first world problem. Because we recognize that all around the world, there are different countries with different types of economies, government structures, there's different levels of poverty, or there's different levels of prosperity, right? So there's such a variety of things found on earth, right? Cultures. And so with that being said, all those things have a different impact on what human trafficking looks like in the country. So that really kind of is like a guide to kind of like a different level of expectation. So if you go to like Africa, for example, there might be child trafficking that might look different than child trafficking in Latin America or America, Canada or Europe or India. So all of these things play a role in what trafficking looks like in a country. All right, so this episode today, I just really kind of want to start the grounds on that. Culture really does make a difference. Politics matters. Regardless of what you, if you want to gauge in politics or not. I know America's kind of, you know, it's been a huge issue in the last couple of years. The division that's occurred, we kind of see it, you know, if you lean to the right, if you lean to the left, most of the time people are now identifying themselves with their political party, and they might not like you if you're part of a certain ideology. So, you know, I think the conversation has to be very, very open in regards to like the solutions for human trafficking. We can't politicize this, right? But politics does play a role in how human trafficking looks in different countries. So we can get into that in another conversation, but today's topic is really just focused on what types of human trafficking are there. So one of the two main types of trafficking is prostitution and labor trafficking. So if you've ever seen the movie Taken, I would recommend it. That movie just shows certain vulnerabilities that can happen in someone's life, just how easy it is for someone to be taken advantage of. But in America, just specifically speaking, Taken is not a good representation of how people are normally trafficked. In America, it does have certain connections. Like, it's if you've seen the movie Taken, the protagonist or the main girl, she goes on a trip, I believe it's to France, and she meets a guy in the airport who kind of just looks really nice. He kind of he gives them a ride, her and her friend, to their apartment, and kind of just checking out, like, oh, where are you staying? And then he invites them to a party, says he'll be back, and then he ends up, you know, going with a couple of people, and they get kidnapped. So in America, for example, that will look a little bit different. There might not be a lot of kidnapping, but there's a lot of other types of, but the main thing there is the grooming, the process of forming a relationship. So traffickers form relationships with their victims and will form a connection with them, like, oh, you're my friend, or maybe we'll be boyfriend girlfriend. So they give them that hope that this is a really healthy relationship forming. This is an exciting relationship. This is something kind of like you want. They're friendly. They're nice. And in the end, that's not at all what happens. I hope in another episode, we will really dive into that. Just maybe talk about different testimonies that are out there of survivors. And that'll be really interesting. So there's prostitution, and then within that prostitution, it's not just adults who get trafficked, it's minors as well. So here in the United States, with child sex trafficking, that is automatically, you know, a crime if someone forces a child to engage in a commercial sex act. Automatically they can, you know, be prosecuted for that, which is really amazing, because for an adult, being able to prove that it's trafficking, it's a little bit harder, or that you need more evidence. But if it's a minor involved, then that's evidence enough, and that person can be put in prison. So it will definitely go through that as well. So the next one is the labor trafficking. Labor trafficking happens in the United States, sadly, but it is mainly displayed in other countries. Labor trafficking affects all ages. There are people trafficking children for work, so that can mean either kidnapping or being sold into a labor situation where you're basically working for free, you're not getting paid, and you're also in a very restrictive living situation. So the traffickers typically have control of where you live, have control of what you eat, have control of what your schedule looks like. You don't have weekends off. There's no Saturday and Sunday. You're more or less working probably 11 hours a day, or more, and in really, really, it tends to be really harsh conditions. It's not like you're in an AC. Like, it might be something really, really brutal, work environment. So that one is very, very huge, just because corporations or businesses want to profit. That's the purpose of a business, is to make profit. And so in order to make more profit, they'll be able to do that without paying not paying their employees. So can you imagine, you know, if you own a business and you have 10 employees, each person deserves a paycheck, right? But imagine you're not giving them a paycheck every week or every 2 weeks or every month. Then of course that's all that money that you're gaining from their labor is going into your own pocket. So that's something that's very distasteful. So it's really sad, but yeah, there's children around the world working 14 hours, you know, a day, not being treated as a child, not in school, nurturing their brain, nurturing their learning capabilities. Nope, they are being used as labor workers. And not only children, but this happens sometimes to families, a whole bunch of families. It happens to everybody in all ages. And America is not excluded from this. We have a lot of labor trafficking occurring in different types of markets. So some of the common industries are we've all probably have had a product from it, but common industries is technology, clothing industry, fishing, cocoa and sugarcane, construction. How many of us do not see construction, like I-95, like all these turnpikes? You see construction everywhere. It's something that is needed in every country. So people get trafficked into construction positions and they're threatened. So we're gonna get into like how someone gets trafficked and how they get stuck there, right? So there's also construction industry, agriculture, hospitality, housekeeping, facilities operations, transportation, the warehousing, and the healthcare system. So estimated over 70% of detected human trafficking victims around the world are women and children. That's because a lot of them are, because prostitution is the number one type of trafficking and labor trafficking. There's a lot of statistics out there, and hopefully there is an agreement upon most of these, but that's one that is true. About 70% are women and girls. And just to get on, like, the, since we're talking about the business side, the estimated value or the estimated amount made in this industry a year is $150.2 billion in 1 year. That's how much people make off of the backs of others. This is modern day slavery. And another statistic that's very heartbreaking is that one in every four victim of human trafficking is a child, and that can include any age, even babies. All right. So prostitution, labor trafficking, other ways that people are trafficked is through child soldiers, organ trafficking, debt bondage, street crime, forced marriages, and the drug trade. This was a really crazy statistics that I found from 2020. In the United States, 1,169 people were charged with human trafficking. So they went to court and they were charged with the crime. 92% were male. That means that about 8% are female who trafficked, who were caught trafficking other people in the United States. So that's a big thing. Most of the time, you kind of, just like the movie Taken, you just assume that most of the traffickers are male, but there are female in there as well. So 63% in the United States who were found to be trafficking, who were caught, were white. 18% were black, 17% were Hispanic, and then 95% were U.S. citizens. So citizens, 95% of those 1,169 people who were found to be trafficking were United States citizens within the United States. 66% had no prior convictions. 66%, that is huge, right? 66% of people, so 6 out of the 10 basically, had no prior convictions in regards to any other crimes they might have committed. So that's just, that number is just, to me, I'm like, wow, you know, you can't judge a book by its cover. Just because you've never committed a crime doesn't mean that you're not committing one now, basically. Isn't that crazy? That's so crazy to me. So other industries that really, going back to the labor trafficking, and this is just to bring more awareness of like what to look out for, and how human trafficking is basically, could be all around us. We know it's happening in every state, but it might look different. As I said before, cultures, even culturally in the United States, we know if we go in the South, it's different than if you go to like New York, cultures change. So in the need in each town, each province, it's going to be a different need. So based off of the need, based off of the opportunities to exploit people, based off of, like, I guess the culture, the economy of that city. For example, like, if you go to the Midwest, I'm not 100% like sure on this, but there's a lot of farmland in the middle of the United States, so there might be more labor trafficking there. There might be a lot more sex trafficking there. If you go to Miami Beach, for example, there might be a lot more sex tourism there. People coming to Miami from all around the world. So there's probably a lot more tourism happening. I mean, Fort Lauderdale is like huge on tourism, so a lot of more probably opportunities for traffickers to bring minors and exploit them in South Florida. So other industries, so I had mentioned already some of them, but there's also traveling sales crew, janitor services, landscaping. In other countries, or even here, we might see peddling and begging, religious institutions, child care centers, domestic work. That one is huge. Factories, salon services, and massage parlors and retail services. So I know this is a huge, like, this episode is a little disheartening, because you start realizing when you're reading these statistics or you're reading the information, you're like, huh, this really does affect every field, or it could be. So that's why, you know, we need to shed light on this, because we need to be able to come up with some solutions. Everyone can make a difference. We're all here to kind of be able to give our opinion, say, hey, what if we try this, or what if this becomes a law? Or, you know, in Florida, for example, there's a new law that came out a couple years ago in regards to hotels. So now with the new law, hotels can be held responsible if they're not training their staff on what to look for if for human trafficking signs, because a lot of traffickers bring their services to hotels. They use hotels, and sometimes it can be very obvious what's happening, and people just choose to look away. So with that, a lot of people who are in the fight against human trafficking have brought about this new policy, so that hotels can also be kind of alert, you know, put on alert, and they can be fined per day a large amount of money if they're not training their staff. So that I found that really, you know, that's just one example of a solution within one industry, which it would be the hospitality industry. And that's in Florida, because we have a lot of trafficking here. But yeah, that's a lot of what's happening right now. Even as we speak, you know, it's insane. So just again, some of the names we have, the prostitution, labor, child soldier, organ trafficking, debt bondage, street crime, forced marriages, and the drug trade. If you want to hear more about the different ones, I'm going to actually be making a podcast for each one and just diving deeper into it, so we can just really talk about what's happening out here. All right, so yeah, that's it for today. A lot of information. I encourage you guys just to go take a walk, go outside, enjoy the sunshine, make sure to, you know, stay hydrated. A lot of times when we talk about a subject like human trafficking, it's really, really it can be really hopeless, and you kind of get like, where do I go from here, you know? But I want to encourage you that it's there, you know, with Christ in our life, there's so much hope. He gives us the encouragement, the power to be able to confront things that are evil like this. One of the books I actually have in my hand, it's called Not For Sale by David Batstone. I read this a couple years back, and it really goes over the different types of trafficking as well. So it's Not For Sale by David Batstone, and it says the return of the global slave trade and how we can fight it. So he really highlights different countries around the world and how trafficking looks different. It was a really intense read, but I do encourage you to pick it up because it's a really easy read as well. It's not like textbook crazy college master's level reading. It's just really very understandable, and it's just for the average Joe, you know, like someone like can just pick it up and learn about human trafficking and the different types of trafficking. And also it's very encouraging because he mentions how people what people are doing to actually help all around the world. So I just want to talk about the summary really quick, just what people have said about the book. So it says, David Batson's book, Not For Sale, breaks my heart and gives me hope. Here we read how people are historically coming forward to fight the modern scourge of slavery. God is in the freedom business, whether in ancient Egypt or in modern South Africa or anywhere else where there is injustice or oppression. God calls us to continue his great liberation effort, and Batson's book helps us do just that. And that was from the author of Made for Goodness, Desmond Tutu. Another one, it's remarkable to watch this book ignite a global abolitionist movement. All people should be free to live, free to play, and free to rock. That was by Mac Powell, lead singer of multiple platinum selling band Third Day. And then the last person said, tweet everyone you know about this book. Let's make slavery history. Jack Dorsey, co-founder of Twitter and CEO of Square. All right, so that is Not For Sale, The Return of the Global Slave Trade and How We Can Fight It, by David Batstone. I definitely advise you to get it. I might pick it up again and read a little bit more. I did read it a couple years back, but it was really, really memorable. In one of the chapters, he talks about in Asia, some of the fishing industry and how a lot of the fishermen, they're really trafficked at a young age, and they sometimes get thrown overboard at sea. And that, you know, that was just horrifying, you know, to realize that that's happening. And I definitely was crying when I was like, I was trying to make a video about it so I can post and just get some awareness. And I ended up crying in the video. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't even talk about it. Like it was pretty bad. And I wanted to be, you know, a little bit more professional, I guess. But definitely it's a really good book. He really illustrates real life experiences of what people are going through, and that's what I really appreciate it. So get it, Not For Sale. I hope that after this podcast you have some more in the understanding about the different industries that are affected. It's basically every industry you can think of. The different types of trafficking, which I'll definitely go into more. And hopefully we can start getting, you know, solutions. You know, I know people, I'm hoping that people who listen to this work in every type of field, whether it's technology, the music industry, hospitals, wherever we are in our journeys, in our careers, we have the ability to, you know, walk with our eyes open, just making sure of any signs that we might see, or even if we hear about a policy coming up on trafficking and being voted on, like we'll be able to reach out to our local representatives and ask them, you know, to vote in the side that protects victims and to prosecute traffickers. And that's just a little bit of what we can do, right? It will make a big difference. And yeah, I don't even know how to end this podcast. I don't want it to end. but have to say goodnight. Good night, good morning, wherever you're starting your day listening to this. I hope it your day goes well. Ciao, ciao.